Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Chet. The first two-thirds of this perek is a detailed list of specific activities, many of them agricultural in nature, along with instructions governing how they may and may not be performed on Chol HaMoed. In a departure from our usual format, we will mostly skip this large portion of the perek. The reason is that there aren't new principles at work here, only applications of the principles of the last perek about malach on Chol HaMoed to cases which are for the most part archaic and foreign. We will mention a few important points which emerge from this part of the perek, reading inside just the relevant halachot. Afterwards, we will focus on the last part of the perek, which discusses the dinim relating to performing malacha on Erev Pesach, and includes important principles about conflicting minhagim in different locations. We begin with halacha vav. Kotel ginash nafal, bonehu ma'aseh hediot, o godero to bekanim v'gome v'chayutzei behem. V'cheini masa ma'akel agag, bone ota ma'aseh hediot, aval kotel chatzer shnafal, bonehu kidarko. If a garden wall collapses, then one may rebuild it in an unprofessional manner by piling rocks on top of one another without any cement, or he may put up a makeshift fence of reeds and papyrus. The same holds for a fence around his roof, his ma'akeh, which there is a mitzvah to build. In both of these cases, rebuilding the wall or fence is litzorech hamoed, but it is not a davar haved, and therefore the rule, as we saw in the last perek, is that the malacha is permitted, but must be done in an unprofessional manner. But if the wall of his courtyard collapses, exposing his entire courtyard to the danger of intruders and thieves, then this is a davar haved, and so the wall may be rebuilt even in a professional manner, maaseh uman, as in any other case of davar haved. We note that the Bir Halacha and the Aruch HaShulchan permit rebuilding the ma'akeh around the roof even in a professional manner, as the point of the ma'akeh is to prevent accidents, and so it must be built properly. So too, if the wall of the chatzer begins to lean and is in danger of collapsing, this poses a risk of serious injury, and therefore the wall may be rebuilt in the normal manner. Halacha Zayin extends this permission to parts of the house itself which need repair. Bone adam itztaba leshev o lishan aleha. Hatzir v'atzinor v'akora v'hamanul v'hamavteach shenishperu metaknan b'moed kedarko. Bein b'shel barzel, bein shel eitz. Shezeh hefseid gadolhu. Shim yaniach ha-petach patuach udlatot shvurot nimtza ma'abed kol ma sheyesh b'bayit. Uchvar be'arnu shekol sheyesh bo hefseid eino tzarich shinui. One may build on Chol HaMoed a bench on which to sit or to sleep. If parts of the door of his house are broken, like the hinge, the beam which locks the door, the lock itself, or the key, then these may be fixed in the normal manner. This again is based on the rule that one may do malacha on Chol HaMoed to fix anything which threatens to cause a major loss, like a broken door to a house which allows access to thieves, even in the normal manner of Maaseh Uman. Now skip to Halacha Yud, which reminds us of a limitation on Melechet Devar Haved on Chol HaMoed. Ein mitalin et ha'ilanot, v'lo mizamin et ha'nitiot, v'lo migazmin. Aval sachin et ha'ilanot, v'et ha'perot shebahen b'shemen. V'okrin et ha'pishta mipnei shehi ruya lachpof ba b'moed. V'kotzrin et ha'kishut mipnei shehi ruya latila l'sheichar b'moed. V'chein kol kayotze baze. It is forbidden to remove worms from a tree, and to cover saplings with manure, and to prune a tree. All three of these activities qualify as Devar HaAved, because they protect the tree from harm and allow it to grow and produce fruit properly. But all of them are forbidden nonetheless because they are considered Tircha Yitera, excessive physical labor, which we saw in the last parak is forbidden even in a case of Devar HaAved. The rest of this halacha lists actions which may be performed on fruit or agricultural produce based on Tzorech HaMoed. Fruit growing on a tree may be smeared with oil to protect it. Flax may be uprooted in order to cover with it something which needs to be protected. And hops, the barley used to make beer, may be harvested on Chol HaMoed in order to make beer for the holiday. In all three cases, the permission assumes that the relevant produce will be eaten or used on Chol HaMoed so that the malacha qualifies as Letzorech HaMoed. Skip now to Halacha Yud Bet. Hamashve pnei akarka. Im nitkaven letaken makom sheyamid bo kri shel tvua o sheyadush bo, mutar. Vim nitkaven lavudat haaretz, asur. V'chein hamalakeit eitzim mitoch sadehu, im letzorach haitzim, mutar. Vim letaken akarka, asur. V'chein hapotek maim lesadehu, im nitkaven sheikansu hadagim, mutar. Vim lahashkot haaretz, asur. V'chein hakotzeitz chariot min hadekel, im nitkaven lahachila behema, mutar. Vim nitkaven lavudat ha'ilan, asur. U'mimasav yukar le'eze darar hu mitkaven. This halacha lists four activities performed in one's field, which may be permitted and may be forbidden on Chol HaMoed, depending on the intent of the one performing them. In all four cases, if the intent is to improve the land itself, then the act is forbidden, as this is malacha which isn't a tzorach HaMoed or a davar haved. But if the intent is something else, for example, leveling the ground so he can make a pile of grain there, gathering wood from the field in order to use the wood, diverting a stream to his field in order to catch fish, and cutting branches from a palm tree in order to feed his animal, then this is tzorach HaMoed and permitted. The Rambam ends with the cryptic statement that, from his actions, it can be determined what his intention is. Much later in the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchot Zechiyah U'Matana Perek Bet, these actions and their different possible meanings are relevant in another context altogether. By performing an act which improves a piece of land, one can acquire the land if it is ownerless, like Nechseh Hager, the property of a convert who dies without any Jewish relatives. The Rambam brings several examples, including the actions listed in our halacha, which may be done to improve the land or may have some other purpose. Such an act only works to acquire the Nechseh Hager if it is done with intent to improve the land. And there the Rambam explains exactly how we can tell by observation what the intent of the person is when he performs each act. For example, leveling the ground. If the person is attempting to make the ground straight, then his intent is clearly to improve the land. But if he is clearing away dirt and pebbles in a haphazard manner, then his intent is just to use the cleared away area. Or gathering wood. If he is picking up all sticks regardless of size, then his intent is to improve the land. But if he only takes the larger sticks, then his intent is to use the wood. From our halacha, together with what the Rambam writes in Hilchot Zechiyah U'Matana, we can clearly establish a halachic equation. Whatever works to acquire Nechseh Hager improves the land, and thus is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. And whatever does not work to acquire Nechseh Hager is permitted on Chol HaMoed. But the question is, does the heter to do the malach on Chol HaMoed depend only on the person's intent, as it sounds like from our halacha, or do we require that the manner in which the action is done clearly indicates, as per the rules in Hilchot Zechiyah U'Matana, that his intent is not to improve the land, but for something else? The Magen Mishnah addresses this question and suggests two answers. One is that when it comes to Chol HaMoed, we are machmir in both directions. If the manner in which he does the action indicates that he means to improve the land based on the rules in Hilchot Zechiyah U'Matana, then we consider him to have violated the Isser Malacha, no matter what he claims his intent was. Conversely, if he intends to improve the land, then his action is forbidden, whether or not the way he does it reflects this intent. The Magen Mishnah's second answer is that the Rambam in the last line of our halacha simply applies to Hilchot Chol HaMoed all the details that he writes in Hilchot Zechiyah U'Matana, and the act is always permitted as long as it is done in a manner which doesn't work to acquire Nechseh Hager. The Shulchan Aruch seems to accept the second answer, and permits each activity when it is done in a way which doesn't acquire Nechseh Hager. But the Mishnah Berurah is stringent in accordance with the first answer of the Magen Mishnah, and requires on Chol HaMoed both that the act be done in the way described by the Shulchan Aruch, and that the actual intent of the person performing it be for some Tzorach HaMoed purpose and not related to improving the land. We move now to Halacha Yud Zayin, where the Rambam shifts to another topic. Asur la'asot malacha ba'arvei yamim tovim min ha'mincha ulamala, kmo arvei shabbatot, v'chol ha'oseh malacha behen, eino ro'eh siman bracha, v'go'arin bo, u'mevatlin oto al korcho. Aval ein makinoto makat mardut, ve'ein tzirich lomar she'ein min adinoto, chutz me'erva pesach achar chatzot, sha'ose bo melacha achar chatzot min adinoto, ve'ein tzirich lomar she'makinoto makat mardut im lo niduhu. לפי שיום ארבע עשר בניסן אינו כשאר ערבי ימים טובים, מפני שיש בו חגיגה ושחיטת קורבן. It is forbidden to do malacha on Erev Yom Tov from the time of Mincha onward, meaning the last 2.5 halachic hours of the day, just as it is forbidden to do so every Erev Shabbat. We learned this in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Hey in the context of the 6 shofar blasts, which were sounded every Friday afternoon. The first, sounded at the time of Mincha, was the signal to stop doing malacha in the fields. Beit Din must rebuke anyone who does malacha during this time and force him to stop, but one who violates this does not get any punishment, even Makat Mardut. The exception to this rule is Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. One who does malacha on this day from as early as Chatzot, midday, receives the punishment of Makat Mardut and is put into Nidui. This is because Erev Pesach is not like other Arvei Yom Tovim, as it is characterized by the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach and the accompanying Korban Chagiga, which both must be done after Chatzot. Halacha Yudchet. Lefichach, Yom Arba'a Sar Asur Basiat Malacha Midivrei Sofrim, Kamo Chulo Shalmoed, Vehu Kal Michulo Shalmoed, Veino Asur Ela Mechatzi Hayom Vamala, Shehu Zman Ashchita. Aval mehanetza chama ad chatzi hayom, talui baminhag, makom shnagu lasot, osin, makom shnagu shelo lasot, ein osin. Because of the unique status of Erev Pesach, malacha is forbidden on the afternoon of that day in the same manner as it is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. As for the first half of the day, there are divergent customs, just as we saw at the end of Hilchot Shvitat Asor about lighting a candle before the start of Yom Kippur. Some places have the custom to do malacha during the morning of Erev Pesach, and others have the custom to abstain, and everyone must follow the custom of where he lives. 2 points about the Isser Malacha on Erev Pesach afternoon. First, does it still apply nowadays when we don't offer the Korban Pesach? The general consensus among Rishonim and the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is that it does, because the important point is not the actual involvement in the slaughtering of the Korban. Because the afternoon is meant to be a time of preparing the korban, it has an independent status as a quasi-yom tov, even when no korban is offered in practice. In this context, we note that in the list of the mo'adim, which appears in the Torah in Parshat Emor, Vayikra Perek Chaf Gimel, the first holiday listed is Pesach, and it actually opens with a pasuk about Erev Pesach afternoon. Bachodesh harishon, ba'arba asar yom lachodesh ben harbayim, Pesach Lashem. This shows that Erev Pesach afternoon is inherently a time of Kedusha, even in an era like nowadays, when the Korban is not offered. Second, the Isser Malacha of Erev Pesach does not include minor forms of Malacha done for the purpose of the upcoming holiday, like mending clothes. However, the Ramah forbids sewing a new piece of clothing from scratch on Erev Pesach afternoon. But haircuts, shaving, and laundry must be avoided on Erev Pesach afternoon, just as on Chol HaMoed, so one should be careful to do all of these before Chatzot. As long as one starts the laundry machine before Chatzot, it may be allowed to continue to run after Chatzot as well. Halacha Yudtet. Va'afilu b'makom shenagu la'asot, lo yatchil katchila la'asot malacha ba'arba'asar, af al pishu yachol legomra kodem Chatzot, ela shalosh umanuyot bilvad hein shematchilin b'makom shenagu la'asot, v'osin ad Chatzot, ve'elu hein, ha'chayatin, va'saparin, va'kovsin, Aval sha'ar umanuyot, im hitchil ba'kodem arba'asar, hu shegomer ad chatzot, she'ein ha'am tzrichin l'sha'ar umanuyot tzorech harbe. Even in a place where the custom is to do malacha on the morning of Erev Pesach, one may not begin any malacha process then, even if he can complete it before chatzot. He may only continue doing some malacha which he had begun the day before or earlier. The only exceptions to this rule are 3 types of work for which there is very high demand just before the holiday. The 3 craftsmen who are allowed to begin malacha on Erev Pesach morning are tailors, barbers, and launderers. Of course, even they must stop working at Chatzot, as the Isser Malacha after Chatzot is universal and not dependent on custom. The Ravid in a Hasaga on this halacha believes that the Rambam understood incorrectly the Mishnah, which is the source of the unique status of these three types of work, and his own understanding of the halacha is far more lenient. What the Rambam allows in a place where the custom is to work, that is, these three craftsmen may begin malacha, and everyone else may only complete malacha begun earlier, the Ravid allows in a place where the custom is not to work. The custom, in other words, applies only to starting new work, not ending work from the day before. And these three craftsmen are in such high demand that they may even begin work where the custom forbids everyone else from doing so. In a place where the custom is to work, it sounds like the Ravid would allow any work at all to be performed during the morning until Chatzot. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the more stringent understanding of the Rambam, and the Ramah accepts the lenient view of the Ravid. He adds, however, that the malacha which may be completed on Erev Pesach morning in a place where the custom is not to work must be Letzorach HaMoed. The next halacha discusses the din of a person who comes from a place with one custom and travels to a place with a different custom. It is an important halacha with broad application, so we will read and explain it in several parts. We note before we begin that the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha verbatim in his Psak Halacha on the topic of different local customs. Ha'olech mi'akom she'osin l'makom she'in osin, lo ya'aseh ba'yishuv mipnei ha'machloket, aval osehu ba'midbar. One who goes from a place, his home, where the minhag is to do malacha on the morning of Erev Pesach, to a place where the minhag is to abstain, may not do malacha in the settled part of town, the yishuv, as this may cause friction and disagreement, but he may do malacha in an uninhabited desert area. The Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan understand this to mean that in the yeshuv, the visitor may not do malacha even privately, bitzina, where no one sees him. The permission to do malacha applies only to an uninhabited area, a midbar. Continuing, V'haolech mi'akom she'en osin, l'makom she'osin, lo ya'aseh, notnin alav chumrei makom she'yatzam yisham, v'chumrei makom she'alach lisham. The opposite scenario, one who goes from a place, his home, where the minhag is to abstain from malacha on the morning of Erev Pesach, to a place where the minhag is to do malacha, may not do malacha at all, as we apply to him the stringencies of his hometown. Va'af al pichein, lo yitra'e b'fneihem shehu batel mipnei ha'isur, lo'olam lo yishne adam mipnei ha'machloket. In this last scenario, where everyone else is doing malacha, but this person is not because of the custom of his hometown, he may not make it look like he is abstaining from malacha because it is forbidden, as this approach violates the local custom, and one should never deviate from the local custom lest this cause friction and disagreement. Rather, he must make it appear that he isn't doing malacha only because he has no malacha to do. And ending the halacha, v'chein mi she'da'ato lachzor limkomo, noheg ka'anshei makomo, bein lahakel bein lahachmir, v'hu shelo yitra'e b'fnei anshei makom shehubo mipnei ha'machloket. One who intends to return to his place of origin may follow the customs of that place, whether to be strict or lenient. But here again, he must be careful not to appear to the locals as if he is deviating from the local custom, lest this cause friction and disagreement. The principles which emerge from this halacha are applied by poskim to a wide variety of situations in which a person who hails from a place with one custom travels to a place with a different custom, including cases of different nuscha'ut tefillah, and another common example we'll discuss in a moment. First, though, we note a surprising aspect of the Rambam's psak, which seemingly deviates from the approach of most Rishonim. If a person moves from a place with a stricter custom, in some matter, to a place with a more lenient custom, and has no intent to return to his place of origin, may he adopt the more lenient custom of the new location? Most Rishonim rule that he may, because since he has no intention to return, the new location is now his home. But the Rambam seems to say otherwise. Only in the last part of our halacha does he mention the possibility that this visitor plans to return to his place of origin, which means that the earlier parts of the halacha relate to one who does not plan to return. And despite this, in the second of the four parts of the halacha we just read, the Rambam writes that the newcomer is bound by the chumrah of his place of origin not to do malacha on Erev Pesach morning. This means, in essence, that a person can never free himself of the stringencies of his place of origin, no matter where he moves over the course of his life. Some notes that Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch, like the Shach and the Gra, understand the Rambam in this very stringent manner, but the Shulchan Aruch evidently does not, as he quotes this halach in one place, but elsewhere says explicitly that one who has no intent to return follows entirely the customs of his new location. A common situation in which this question of divergent minhagim arises is when someone from Chutz Laaretz visits Eretz Yisrael for Yantiv, or vice versa. What should this person do on Yom Tov Sheni? One approach, which is the one taken by the Shulchan Aruch, is to draw an exact parallel between this case and our case of Erev Pesach morning. Eretz Yisrael is a place where the custom is to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni, and Chutz Laaretz is a place where the custom is to abstain. So following the principles of this halacha we just learned, we would conclude as follows. A ben Eretz Yisrael who goes to Chutz Laaretz may not do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni in any inhabited area, meaning presumably inhabited by Jews, but may do so elsewhere. So for example, a ben Eretz Yisrael may go on a nature hike in Chutz Laaretz on Yom Tov Sheni and do malacha, where no Jews will see him. A ben Chutz Laaretz who goes to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov must abstain from malacha on Yom Tov Sheni if he plans to return to Chutz Laaretz. If he doesn't plan to return, then he may do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. However, as we explained, the simple reading of the Rambam is that one is forever bound by the chumrot of his place of origin. If this is the case, we reach the somewhat absurd conclusion for the Rambam that even a ben Chutz Laaretz who makes aliyah and lives in Eretz Yisrael for decades must continue to abstain from malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. The impossibility of this conclusion leads us to question whether the model of divergent minhagim is really appropriate at all for this question of how to observe Yom Tov Sheni, especially in the direction of a ben Chutz Laaretz who goes to Eretz Yisrael. A famous tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi argues that this model is not relevant because it is not the case that in Eretz Yisrael the custom is to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. Rather, the entire concept of Yom Tov Sheni doesn't exist in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore even a visiting ben Chutz Laaretz who intends to return should keep only one day. We won't elaborate further here on the specific question of keeping Yom Tov Sheni when a resident of one place visits the other, or on the more general question of traveling between places with different minhagim. This is a very rich topic with extensive discussions in the halachic literature about many specific cases, and anyone finding himself in a situation of doubt is encouraged to consult a knowledgeable Rav for advice and instruction.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.